This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm David Lazarus of the Los Angeles Times. Remember the sequester? All that backing and forthing over the federal budget that had people in Washington foaming at the mouth and had the rest of us, many of us, falling asleep. This week, mean old Mr. Sequester was back in the news as some federal employees were forced to take a few days per month of unpaid leave. Furloughs, they're called. But as the week went on, it was kind of hard figuring out who was off the clock and who wasn't, not to mention how things were affecting ordinary working stiffs. But one thing was clear. The nation's airports were hit hard by the furloughs of air traffic controllers, so much so that members of Congress managed to rouse themselves to do something about it. I'm joined by Nancy Marshall Genzer of our Washington, D.C. Bureau to round up the week's news. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, David.
All right, so where are we at now?
As you know, the news was full of this all week. There were flight delays across the country, Chicago, New York, where you are, Los Angeles, Atlanta. On one day alone, the FAA said there had been at least 863 flights delayed. So if you multiply that by about a week, we're talking thousands of flight delays. This kept Congress busy right up to the weekend trying to resolve this so that the furloughs would not affect air traffic controllers. And a number of federal agencies at this point have received some kind of a reprieve, right? So we've got the air traffic controllers. We got a hold of a memo from Attorney General Eric Holder at the Justice Department. Turns out those workers aren't going to be furloughed either. So we're talking about thousands of FBI, ATF agents who were very busy with the Boston bombings, by the way. They will not be furloughed. Also, meat inspectors. The Agriculture Department was given some flexibility with its funding, so meat inspectors are not going to be furloughed.
So wait a minute. It sounds like the whole furlough thing not as severe as we thought, or is it?
Well, it kind of depends who you are, David. For example, if you're pretty crucial, like you're a meat inspector or you're an air traffic controller, well, you're not being furloughed. But workers at the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, have started their furloughs. Workers at the Labor Department have started their furloughs. The Defense Department is still a big question mark. Of course, if you're in uniform, you are not going to be furloughed. But some civilian Defense Department employees were supposed to be furloughed. And first, the Defense Department whittled down the number of furlough days. And then Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel told Congress he was hoping there wouldn't be any furloughs at all. It's still a question mark. We emailed the DOD. They are still planning for furloughs. They could occur in mid-June, which means that workers would be notified in May because they need 30 days notice of any furlough.
So it sounds like I'll be able to fly to a national park, but when I get there, there's going to be nobody there to open the gate.
Maybe. The situation at national parks varies. But I'm going to just look at one park, which I think is sort of representative of what's happening across the country. Acadia National Park in Maine. You've been there, David?
No, but I want to.
Oh, you got to go. It's beautiful. But here's the situation there, which I say is, as I say, is representative of other parks. So the park itself is open, but there's something called the Park Loop Road that goes to all the attractions. It's not going to open for another month. It's opening May 25th. So, you know, consumers are going to still be feeling the effects of the sequester. Also, the DOD has canceled air shows. The Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds are not going to be flying. Fleet Week up in New York City was canceled. That's where they bring up all the big ships, and it's kind of a recruiting event for the Navy, but it's also fun for tourists to see these huge ships. That's been canceled. So people are going to see the effects, but they're not going to be waiting in long lines at the airport.
And how many members of Congress and senators are being furloughed?
Zero.
Ah, there's a
but
surprise.
But their staffs will be affected. And there is some members of Congress have agreed to not accept part of their salaries in solidarity with their workers who are going to be facing furloughs.
Profiles Encouraged. That's Nancy Marshall Genzer from our Washington, D.C. Bureau. Nancy, thank you very much.
You're welcome, David.
Remember how we told you last week we'd be including more of you on the show? Well, here you are. We got all sorts of support from listeners who wrote in via Facebook and Twitter and even old-fashioned email. Ron Spear sent us a note asking for help with budgeting for sequester-related furloughs. He's a federal employee with the Department of Defense who lives in Richmond Hill, Georgia. Do I have that right, Ron?
Yes, sir.
And also joining us is Kevin Livingston. He's a California state employee who was hired during a spate of recent government furloughs and learned some valuable lessons going through that. Hiya, Kevin.
Hi.
All right, let's start with you, Kevin. Just how did being furloughed from your public sector job affect your day-to-day life?
You know, I'm a conservationist, so I do more with less anyway. So it's kind of just, it was normal. It wasn't a big deal. And I was a young professional, and it was more pay than what I was used to begin with. But then when it hit and I understood, it got harder, and ended up going into debt every year. And then how I ended up paying off that debt every year was with my tax return.
Well, how much debt did you go into?
With my last tax returns, we just paid off. We had $4,000 to $5,000 in debt.
And that's because?
You know, I went and rented an apartment thinking the salary was three times the rent. Next thing I knew, it was closer to two times the rent. So it made it harder, for sure.
All right. So, Ron, let me turn to you. You're facing now what Kevin has gone through. How much anxiety does something like that cause?
It builds slowly, and then it hits you very quickly. Earlier in the year, I knew it was potentially coming, but I think like a lot of us and the government employees didn't really think it would hit and didn't realize the scope of it. And then once the news started getting a little louder there in February, realized that I really need to get ready for this.
Is there talk among DOD employees as to how much your income could go down if the sequester axe falls?
Well, I haven't received any official notification, so I can only go off what's in the news. And I guess what everybody's reporting is could be one day a week, which basically works out to be about a 20% reduction of income.
That's a pretty big hit. Are you anticipating how you might change things around to accommodate that?
Yes. I've done a few things already to get ready. I've been a longtime listener, so I've been doing almost everything that I'm hopefully supposed to be doing financially. The only thing I was kind of not doing real well was my emergency fund or my FU fund. So back in January, I reduced my contributions to my 401k that the government has called the Thrift Savings Plan from 15% down to 5%, where I get my 5% matching. I've been doing really good at saving in that, but I've been putting that extra money into my emergency fund so that I've got a little bit more cash on hand.
Now, as a long-term listener of the show, Ron, you know that fiddling with your retirement planning, not always the best idea.
Well, I understand, but the way I look at it, I'm still putting about 10% of my income into the retirement fund, but I'm also not dipping into what I already, my substantial savings that I have in there. And my plan was only to sock away some money here for 6 to 9 months until the situation settles out and becomes clear, and then I'll readjust and go back to my normal savings.
All right. First of all, let me give you total milk and cookies for being on top of it. That's great. Now let's take a closer look at some of your planning because, yeah, shrewdly, you're not going into your 401k and taking money out. Okay, A plus for that. You've cut back your contribution with an expectation that you'll pick it up again. I like that, but I wonder whether there aren't ways to economize elsewhere that would allow you to maintain your giving into your 401k. For example, do you have a big cable bill?
Yes, I probably do.
See, that's always a place that I start looking when people talk to me about this kind of thing, is you think about all those extra premium channels, HBO, Showtime, Stars, all the rest. These add some serious bucks on an annual basis. Now, I know, you know, Game of Thrones is on. You don't want to walk away from HBO necessarily. At the same time, what you're doing is essentially keeping instant gratification ahead of long-term security. And I'm here to tell you that long-term security is a higher priority than instant gratification. And that's why looking at things like your cable package, a great place to start. When you look around at your lifestyle, there are other elements that you might think about, for instance, restaurant meals, clothing, other things that might be more luxuries than necessities?
Yeah, and we've done some of that. We did decide this year not to take a vacation. We've already scaled back on eating out, and when we do go out, we don't order beverages. Here in the South, you always got to get tea with your dinner, and that's can be $2 or $3 depending on where you're at. So we're scaling back a little bit there, and really I just want to wait and see how my first paychecks look after the furloughs hit, and then I'll make further cuts in some of those other things, like with my kids' after-school activities.
That tea thing, is that like a local law?
Yes, sir.
I thought so. My Southern-born producer's nodding her head saying, yeah, come on. Kevin, let me turn back to you. All right, so here we all are. We're talking about the things that Ron should be thinking about. What kind of advice can you offer?
You know, I did those things. I definitely cut the cable. I looked into, like, streaming internet or things like that. But yeah, it hits hard. I mean, the last 3 years is like being in a coma almost, you know. Just it was really financially strapped down. But the good news was, I'm not at work. I'm at home with the family, you know, finding ways to not spend money and having a good time with the family. And, you know, from my perspective, I took the job with the government. Government work to me pays not too good to begin with, you know, and I'm called a civil servant and I serve the people. And so I just go back to, you know, I got to serve the people. If this is what they want and this is what they get, you got to love what you're doing and really care about what you're doing and just believe in the future. And that kind of got me through just being glad. You know, a lot of people ended up not having a job or anything like that. And things happen. Things work out. And in the meantime, I had to make sure I was still loving what I did.
And very quickly, Kevin, at the back end of these furloughs, were you able to pick up again on your spending from before?
Yeah, I've, you know, the good news about all this is using the credit and then paying it off, my credit score has gone way up, and I've gotten some great, sweet credit card offers, and I've been able to save lately, and just took the family to Disneyland, and it was kind of like a breath of fresh air to get out of it in a way. So things are looking up for us.
All right, Ron, it's good news for you.
Yes, sir. I think I'm on the right track. I'll look at trying to pick back up on my 401k contributions and find some money elsewhere.
Well, that's great. I hope you don't get furloughed, but if you do, and if anyone else listening does, now you got some advice to help you through it. Kevin Livingston is a California State employee. Ron Spear works for the Department of Defense. Thank you very much to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.